Welcome to The Smart Life, a podcast from Beacon Agency that explores the latest in smart home and Internet of Things technology. I'm your host, Sophie, and I'm the content director here at Beacon. Each week, I'm joined by some of the biggest thought leaders in smart tech, here to unpick the challenges and opportunities faced by the industry as we endeavour to make the world of smart tech just that little bit more human. Today, I am joined by Delta Door's Senior Area Manager, John Bradford. With an engineering and business background, John has long been driven towards new innovative technology, especially within the smart home. He spent 12 years at Delta Door, starting in the heating, ventilation and air conditioning market, before moving more and more into the smart home as the industry has grown. As the industry has developed, so has Delta Door's offer, now with over 400 partner connections, proficiencies in IoT and bespoke services, all with the aim of making the smart home more accessible and more useful. John also has the claim to fame of being the first guest to appear on the very first episode of The Smart Life, where he shared his fairy light bulb moment of his first foray into the smart home when he discovered he could take the hassle out of lighting his Christmas tree. And it was during this chat he said possibly one of my favourite quotes from this podcast, at the discovery he no longer had to hug the bloody great thing every day anymore, thanks to his smart socket. John Bradford, welcome back to The Smart Life.
Thank you so much.
Firstly, tell us a little bit more about Delta Door and about your role there.
Yeah, sure thing. So this year we're celebrating our 53rd birthday, having been founded in 1970.
Wow.
And I'm proud to say that we manufacture here in Europe as well, in France and Germany. And so far, to date, we've got over 5 million homes fitted with our smart home solutions, covering everything from heating, lighting, security and so on and so forth. So
amazing.
Exciting times for us in this developing market. And for me, I work in our pro business unit. So that's focusing mainly on installers, let's say electrical and heating wholesalers. And I look after the commercial accounts in our developing countries of Europe, including the UK, where I began. So it's really my job to help our partners unlock the potential of smart home for them and their markets.
Amazing, thank you. What is it about smart technology that you personally find so exciting?
Well, I'm a millennial, so I guess I'm hardwired that way to start with. But I would say probably in the 12 years I've worked in the smart home market, it's probably most impressive really to see the speed at which things are changing and the positive impact that's making. So, you know, if I sort of take the area that I really began in, and that's sort of the HVAC area, thermostats as an example. You know, when I first began, it's really this ugly little box that sits on the wall, and you turn it up and down, and you don't really know what it does because you can't see the numbers anymore. So for me, I'm quite convinced that technology and innovation in smart home is quite a vital element to us, let's say, evolving and solving the problems that we face, you know, whether it's the existential crisis of our planet or connecting people to services they need. And yeah, for me, that's quite the important thing about smart technology and what's so exciting about it. You know, what's next? What's coming in the next moment?
And what do you see as the difference between smart and intelligent technology?
Tricky. It's a pretty fluid thing for... I should reverse the question. What do you think? For me, it's pretty fluid. But let's say that it's not necessarily about just having another product on an app. It's great to have connectivity, but really it's about the connection and interaction that, you know, that's between them that gives them meaningful use. So, you know, if I come back to heating a little bit, you know, sometimes you walk into a property or you have a house and you've got one thermostat perhaps for the boiler, you've got one for the electric heating that you've got in your bathroom, and perhaps you've got something else in a different part. And you know, it's really about how you can bring those different elements together and have it working for you. So.
Yeah.
You know, bringing some intelligence to that is important, and perhaps a lot of the intelligence will maybe be in the next steps. You know, how do you How do you introduce things like energy tariffs and things like that to the management of your systems?
Now, we're going to come back to this idea because we've talked a little bit about this idea of generational growth with the with the industry, but I want to put a pin in that because before we look ahead, I'd like to look back, if you'll permit me, because as I said in the beginning, you were the very, very first guest to appear on the Smart Life podcast back in January 2019, pre-pandemic, pre-COVID-19, pre-war in Ukraine, pre-energy crisis, pre-cost of living crisis, pre-TikTok dance crazes. Who knew what relative peace we were actually living in back then? Looking back at that time, it seems like there's been this incredible sense of development in the industry due to necessity more than anything. But how much have you seen the smart industry been shaped that by the incredible landscape of the last few years?
Well, it's been nuts, really, hasn't it? It's been it's been a crazy few years. I think for me, we're placing such a high value these days on the home and how we interact with home. You know, we spent so much time there. You know, I don't know necessarily what it was like for you, but for me, I was sort of stuck in this tiny little Parisian flat with this little slither of a balcony to be able to see the sunshine outside. But yeah, ultimately, I was having to, let's say, live a little bit more harmoniously with the space that I had. Yeah. And sometimes, yeah, that I think that for me, smart home enabled me to be a little bit more clever about how I could use my space and how I would live in that space as well. So yeah, for sure, you have cost implications by living at home more, by working at home more, whether that be on the heating side, but you also have comfort considerations, let's say, as well. You know, if you're using the same space for work and play, you know, how do you make that a relaxing and welcoming environment when you finish work as well? So, you know, there's so many elements that all of that crazy stuff over the last few years has kind of thrown up for us. And, you know, how do we make sure that we have a really good balance to life when, you know, it's faced with such demands as well? And I think smart home can make a really big impact in that.
I guess we all stopped taking our homes for granted and suddenly they were our own little sort of fortress, and therefore you do look at them differently. And I guess included in that is the way that you use smart tech to live better, healthier, happier homes, lives within your home. So it makes sense that the industry would have developed because we're looking at our homes differently.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's just great that the technology can help with that as well. I mean, that's what's made such a big impact for myself, at least anyway.
When you spoke last to the podcast, and I promise I won't just spend this entire time referencing all the great stuff you said back then, although you did say so much great stuff. But you said that your hope for the next iteration of the industry was that healthcare would come to the forefront of the smart home provision, as well as seeing it be made a bit more accessible for our aging population. Both of these seem to have been sort of inadvertently fast-tracked by the pandemic. Do you agree? And do you think there's still room for improvement?
Yes and no. For sure, at the moment, there are so many great initiatives and case studies and proof of concepts that, you know, have really come out of the pandemic and obviously the needs that were created within that. And I think that's great to see, and I hope it continues. And by, let's say, trialing some of these and learning a lot of the lessons from it, we can hopefully have some really good scalable solutions that can make a great impact. But so part of me also says, and I don't want to always blame the government or things like that, but I think large organizations like the government certainly need to do a little bit more to ensure that we have the scalability in some of these solutions as well. So you know, that's where it's going to impact the most people. So yeah, I hope that within the process of these great initiatives and great solutions that are being provided for healthcare, that, you know, we can get some actual results for the many, let's say, in good support from government as well. And I don't, yeah, clearly they've got many, many things on their plate at the moment following something like a pandemic. But certainly, if you know, if we're going to have smart home solutions, which is very much seen as the next, how do we make what's, you know, perceived as the next thing the reality today?
Speaking of a solution that works for the many, during our chats, we've discovered that we have something in common besides having young children who don't like to sleep. Our belief in the importance of storytelling in a way that speaks to the individual, this idea that no two consumers are alike, they'll have different things that will attract them to different solutions, smart or otherwise. That's not a new idea, but it is something that the smart home industry or smart connected living, Internet of Things, is increasingly realizing that you have to target your messaging in a way that speaks to the individual while also having this universal appeal. How do you think that, what do you think is the best approach to tailor messaging to balance that universal versus incredibly personal appeal?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of true of anything that comes around that's new, really, isn't it? Why should I change? You know, what sort of value does it actually bring me? Is it anything in addition? Is it any added value to this? And, you know, for me, what the smart home does provide and some of the solutions that are available out there is that, you know, they're very flexible products that essentially can have very flexible use cases put around them. And, you know, it's great to see that it's possible to present these in really many different ways to many different types of consumers. You know, again, if we take thermostats again for as an example, I use thermostats because let's say it's the most popular solution for smart homes. So let's say it's the most well accepted one. But, you know, they used to have one program that did one thing that you really couldn't adapt or change. But, you know, now you can change it from anywhere. You can have, you know, really flexible programs that really fit to your lifestyle and the way that you interact with what's around you. And it becomes very specific at that point. And, you know, you can really then connect on a, you know, one-to-one level as one user, instead of just sort of one product for the many. So, you know, I think that the smart home enables that, and that can only become better in time as more and more solutions are sort of presented in this way. And you know, if you're, for me, when you add to your smart home solutions, you know, it's not just we're adding another product. We're talking about how that product then can interact with what you might already have within the home. So it becomes an enrichment at that point as well. And, you know, telling that story is really, really vital. It's really, really vital. It's great fun because in the process, you actually, you know, you're learning yourself as well about how, you know, how it could make an impact in your life, and thinking about how it could also impact others. So yeah, it's important.
Because we're so often our own target consumer as well, aren't we, I suppose?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, even we could just speak to our family as well, couldn't we, to see a demographic within that, in that scope as well. So, you know, what works for me won't work for my mum and won't work for, you know, whoever else. So yeah, it's interesting.
This reminds me of something that you said to me in one of your emails, where you said, I have always been motivated by identifying the usefulness of technology for different people and their different situations, not just using it for the technology's sake. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you alluded to, we're both raising young children at this moment. So, you know,
doing our best
to, exactly. And, you know, when I'm able to be awake, and do things, it's let's say that technology for me, or at least the usefulness of technology in different situations, is, it's always relevant to the sort of time of life that you're in as well, I think. And, you know, when I think let's take a situation at the moment that I find really useful, lighting, for example. Okay, when I'm absolutely knackered at night and I can't see because it's pitch black, you know, I'm talking to Alexa. I'm telling her to set, you know, the feeding lighting for my wife as she's going through, or or the baby change lighting to make sure I've got enough light to change the nappy, but not wake him up at the same time, you know.
That is an excellent idea. I'd never thought of that.
I'll tell you what, I've got so many scenarios in my home at the moment for every moment.
Oh, we're
going
to have to compare notes. You'll have to send me a list.
But, I mean, that for me is, that's a real use. It's like, okay, I might not have deemed it necessary before, but my God, does it make a huge difference to like my operational, you know, being at 3 o'clock in the morning when I've got absolutely, not much in the tank. So, you know, for me, that some people might see as, oh, what a useless little bit of additional bump that is, you know, not going to make a difference. But for me, in my moment, in that very case, it's really, really useful to have that flexibility. So, you know, it will be that for this moment. It'll change when my kid grows up a little bit, of course. And, you know, when I'm older, I might have a completely, obviously, different use. But, you know, perhaps some of the same type of products will help me achieve, you know, whatever balance I'm trying to get.
I completely agree. My attitude towards smart technology has changed considerably when I had a baby 2 years ago. I wouldn't go as far as to say I'm a bit of a technophobe, but I would say it takes me a while to break habits. And I think that's the problem with, or the challenge that smart tech has to overcome, which is, oh, I'm fine without it, so why should I get it? But then introduce this incredible new chapter into our lives of this little tiny thing looking at you for complete reliability. And what I'd previously seen as a bit of a gimmick suddenly became a humongous lifeline for me, this smart technology in the home. And whether it was everything from using breast pumps, using baby monitors or door cameras, to, like you said, even just using our Alexa to just be able to whisper to her, that was such a game changer. To not wake up a sleeping baby, to be able to turn off the living room lights. And it strikes me that I am like many people of our generation, this, as you said, millennial, I say the word.
It's such a bad word sometimes, isn't it, people think?
I know. You came out and said it, and I thought, own the word.
No,
very
I know.
Brave.
Well, you've got to. If you're going to be labelled, you might as well run with it, of course.
Well, I think us millennials, we're in this like transitionary generation where we're the generation that saw the internet come in. So we've kind of grown up with it in most of our adolescence, but not necessarily the early years. So we're open to technology, but we're not the next generation coming up after us who have just only ever had the internet. So, but my impression is that the smart home industry is growing up in real time with us. Do you think that's fair to say? Do you think it is aging in real time?
Yeah, for sure. And like almost in the context of where we're both at with kids, we must be patient, let's say. And
I remind myself that every day.
Yeah, I'm still trying to convince myself, but yeah, I mean, for sure, I think we have to be patient with it. You know, technology is moving so fast. I mean it's really only 5 or 6 years ago, let's say, when apps really meaningfully became available. Before that, you used to have this chunky, great big screen in your property when it came to, you know, what would be known as traditional home automation. And you know, the advent of applications kind of dropped the price, you know, from £1,000 down to £100. So it made things more accessible. And with that, it created more demands, of course, on the technology. And if we give it a little bit of patience, if we have time to develop it properly with the use cases that are really meaningful for people, with the technology that we need to solve some of our problems, then yeah, it's going to be hugely impactful. And, you know, I hope that it will sort of accelerate into adolescence, let's say, in a really positive way, and not be a grotty teenager. Instead, let's to bring another analogy to the
excellent
party.
Metaphor.
You know,
we've stumbled across. Yeah.
And I think it will, you know, I think it'll be very well behaved, let's say, you know, and especially with the type of opportunities we have. I mean, for me, a big one is things like home energy management is a huge topic that could have such an impact on the way in which we use our energy, and, you know, from a personal point of view and what we pay, but also in terms of what it means for the environment as well. So, you know, that level of connectivity, the speed at which things are changing. Yeah, I think, yeah, it is aging in real time. It really is.
And do you get the sense that our generation, or the sort of current generation within the industry, has this sense of responsibility to those who will follow us, extending this metaphor of aging in real time? I know it's always been the case that you do set the path for the generation that will follow you, but it seems with the ever-growing pressure to do better for the planet, better for our successes, better just to sort of find longevity, solutions that have longevity, the smart home seems to have to really earn its place at the table with regard to some pretty big discussions around energy efficiency, the cost of living crisis, the need to get down to net zero for the planet's sake. And they're big, big things to then try to sort of filter down into how is that going to impact my day-to-day. But how much does that factor into your day-to-day considerations, this idea of protecting what happens next for the future generation?
I think it's quite big. I mean, you have to, or at least the mentality from our side is that, you know, yes, that's a really important thing to consider is obviously the protection of future generations, the protection of our planet, energy efficiency, and the real time of cost of living. So, you know, you're balancing really long-term views, or let's say elements that are essentially quite long-term, with, you know, real today impacts. And, you know, for me, there's things you can do today, and there's little steps that can be done. You know, just simply upgrading your thermostat, if what you've got, for example, in your home is already 20 years old, for example, will make a huge difference in what you're consuming. And, you know, something as basic as that sometimes is not really well accepted either, let alone the kind of the promised land of you know, proper home energy management systems and things like that. But you know, I think we kind of need to make sure that we're doing the simple things right first, and that obviously, you know, in the next step, we make sure that we build on that, you know, not accelerating too quickly that people get lost, but ensuring that people can really grow and develop with those different ideas, so that it becomes a real meaningful change rather than just sort of a flash in the pan. And, you know, I hope, or at least I try in day to day, to make sure that, you know, what we can do now is implemented, at least in the messaging we give from Delta Door, and that obviously at the same time we're working to make sure that, you know, the technology that we might be putting into people's homes today is actually, you know, ready for what might come next as well, or future proof to some extent to allow us to benefit from what's installed. That's quite an important balance and quite an important responsibility for manufacturers as well, I think, because, you know, we don't want to ruin the idea of smart home for people, or to get into this vicious cycle where it becomes really throwaway. Because in order to make it meaningful, I think we have to sort of convince step by step as well.
And I guess part of that is around this perception around the price. You mentioned before about the prices have come down, but there is still this perception of that it's too expensive, or it's too much of a luxury that I can't afford. And so much of it is an investment. You said you have to treat the cost of living crisis with real-time solutions, but a lot of that comes in this, well, if you invest now, it will have a positive benefit in days, months, weeks, years' time. How do you balance that? How do you convey the value to your customers, demonstrating a focus on the solutions, not just on the products, but and the long-term solutions to them?
I mean, it's really a tricky balance, because, you know, you mentioned a little bit about obviously the craziness that's happened in the last few years, that, you know, the cost of things like components and let's say shipments across the world and so on and so forth has really had an impact on how much it produces cost to produce different products. So for me, the message really is start simple. You know, what is it that is most meaningful for you? You know, is it to save energy? Is it to, you know, have a nice lighting system for when you're changing your baby? Is it, you know, is it these different, you know, what is it that's most meaningful for you? And a good smart home system is modular. So you can build on it. You don't have to have the whole, all singing, all dancing, doorbells, alarm systems, cameras, et cetera, et cetera. A good smart home system you can add to and is modular. So, you know, it's something that you can grow and develop with and that is scalable. So I think that that's one part of the message to say, you know, don't let cost be a factor. Even if it's going to be slightly more investment than perhaps than you thought, you know, for sure. If you're, you know, you're comparing a traditional product with something that's smart, there is an additional cost to it. But do just start simple and really choose what's relevant to you and that can make a big difference on the topic that it is that's impacting you, you know, whether it be cost of living or energy efficiency, whatever it might be.
It's so funny thinking about how, I guess, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this metaphor of becoming a parent, but you suddenly see your timelines completely differently.
We're always doing, I think it's it's just like...
You can't resist. We're such awful smug parents that just have to bring it up in every conversation. I'm joking. But to extend that metaphor further of us, we're now in our positions I've placed us in as these parents proudly watching our smart home children, wishing our thoughts for the future. What do you hope comes next? What is your sort of short-term and long-term wishes for these smart tech babies that we're setting off loose into the world?
I guess I really hope that these youngsters that we're releasing into the world obviously get to university and don't do David Beckham studies perhaps, but have a slightly more meaningful impact on the world. And you know, I think we're doing great things at the moment. We've got great products and great solutions that are adding value to people's lives today. And I really hope as an industry we can keep up that rate of development and rate of quality products going out there to solve people's issues. And if we can keep doing that and working together as an industry to achieve it, that would be a really good output, I would consider, for the future. You know, in the past, you see lots of different companies, lots of different solutions, all sort of working in their own independent silos to a big extent, but I think we have an opportunity in smart home really to come together and make sure that, you know, the way in which we're developing solutions is really well connected, not just in what we're doing, but to other companies and other solutions as well.
I agree. Wouldn't that be great? Well, it leads me nicely to my final question for you. And it's a question I like to ask all of my guests because it is something of a personal obsession of mine, which is the idea of connectivity, connectedness, connection, whatever word you want to call it. But connectivity in every sense of the word, I think if there is a reason that we exist, it's to forge connections with the world around us, big, small, fleeting, permanent. What do you see is the role of smart tech to this idea of connectivity?
Ooh, big question again.
I like to go out on a big question.
Yeah, exactly. What a bang. we covered the sort of concept of sort of smart tech growing up and developing with developing with us as we get older or as we develop or as we go through different stages of life. And you know, it never ceases to amaze me, but you know, for example, even in looking at my grandparents, they've gone from sort of, you know, not understanding what the hell an iPad is to using FaceTime in the next moment. Mm. And, you know, as someone who doesn't live in the UK and with family back there, having that ability to communicate and be connected back to them is really vital. And it's great that all generations are sort of accepting of technology. And what I hope is that, I guess, that all of the elements that we have today that sort of encourages that, you know, the ease of using some of this technology or being able to place the technology in the right place to the right person can help to connect us better as this industry moves forward as well. There's so many ways that we could imagine doing things like that, from making sure that our loved ones are safe in their home, as more people are having to stay in their homes, making sure that we're being able to monitor our loved ones really well, making sure that they're not rushing out of the house at crazy times at night for whatever reason, or just making sure we can check in, or that they can indeed connect perhaps with health services perhaps or doctors and things like that. So that there's so many different avenues that I think communication can take, and it can be enabled so well by smart home. And I just hope that as we get older as well, we continue to accept change, and we continue to accept that this is a good thing, and that it can bring good value to all of our lives as things change and develop moving forward.
I'll be asking you again in series 53 of the Smart Eye.
Yeah, exactly. By then I'll be, I'll be not just wearing a smart watch, it'll be a smart everything else as well.
Smart suit.
Exactly.
John Bradford, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. It's been a pleasure as always.
That's it for another episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Smart Life. If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Plus, you can catch all our past episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Here at Beacon, we specialise in finding innovative, people-centric ways to bring the world of the smart home to life. Got a story you need help telling? Get in touch with us today. Visit www.beaconagency.co.uk.